Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, your home of weekly draft content. Now here's Steve, Jono, Cam, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fizz. So it's all happened. Round one's kicked off. Teams are set. We get to look back and go, well, fuck, how did I make that pick? Why did I choose them? What was I thinking? And pointing the finger essentially at Bevo. But yeah, it did happen. It did start. Hope you're all off to a flyer. You're going to have your hits. You're going to have your misses. It's all good. Didn't get much of a feedback on the picking up of the rooster, unfortunately. So a bit of a letdown from y'all. Not going to lie. I thought people maybe see the value in Stevie Fizz's rooster. Maybe they'd like his cock. Maybe they'd want a bit of that. But no. So we press on and start talking about football. Obviously next week, Carlton and Brisbane have the bye, so adjust accordingly there. Hopefully Lachie Neale will be back after that bye, but obviously a bit of a risky pick first up. Hope you all balanced your risk profiles at your draft, but there was some injuries. Dion Prestia, I remember watching this clip, and it was that Neil deGrasse Tyson, the science guy, and he had this substance called graphene, and it's the thinnest solid object there is. And clearly this man's never met Dion Prestia's ham bone muscle, because they must be thinner than graphene even. So he'll be out for a while. Josh Gibkiss, ACL. Tyler Young smacked his head up. So Noel Bolton went back, scored pretty well. I'm not sure why they would put him forward, but he went back and was part of that Tiger resurgence in the second half before they just fell short. He becomes a pickup, Noel Bolter. But also maybe just we're looking at streaming against the Tigers. They were rough for a lot of that night. Zach Reed injured, Goda, the Achilles, Liam Stocker became, just a battering ram. And a couple of suspensions, it looks like Mason Redmond and James Sicily and Mal Roses have been offered one match ban. So a couple of pretty significant possible suspensions. So we'll see if they challenge, see if it gets reduced. But obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you probably faded James Sicily after we talked him down. And you're probably not missing him after his 40 points or whatever the hell he scored. So we'll see how that shakes out. If Redmond misses, maybe Nick Martin gets a stay of execution, but it wasn't exactly like he was lighting the world on fire. Had an okay AFL fantasy score, but he turned the ball over pretty frequently. James Sicily, obviously, we know what happened there. Everyone else got the ball but him. So we'll see what happens there, but could be lean pickings for the James Sicily owners anyway. So just kind of run through the games quickly and have a quick look at what's real, what's not. What can we learn from? So Richmond did move the ball a little bit less deep, let's say that. So there were a few more marks. Tim Tarano put out a bit more of a respectable score. Toby Nankervis obviously came back and was massive, and if you drafted him, provided some massive value. Shea Bolton continues to be reasonably disappointing, I think you'd say. Tom Lynch building into it. Dan Rioli after that really interrupted preseason is probably not returning much value. But on the Carlton side, Tom DeConing, he becomes an interesting pickup for free agent Ruckman. Nick Newman, like we mentioned last week, really getting freed up with that Doherty injury. And Mitch McGovern did prove to be a really nice pickup off waivers against Richmond. And he's like, there's a lot of defenders on waivers, so we'll get to that reasonably quickly, but I don't think there's too much to write home about there. Maybe you can get a buy low on Taranto. Braden Maynard, continued on from his form from last week, and he looks, he's playing some good footy on the Collingwood side. Jeremy Howe switched around. It's kind of interesting. Josh Dacos, bit of a nothing game. Although he was kind of a fade in a lot of ways. We had him ranked lower than he sort of presented on average, but probably just an absolute massacre, really, for Sydney. A lot of good scores there. James Rowbottom taking advantage of getting that mid-time. And Isaac Heaney just, oh, man, rewarding drafters massively. Goulden saved what was looking like a crappy game with a pretty big second half. So we'll watch this space on Goulden. But, it was a good second half. I'll put it that way. So he scored what you wanted if you drafted him. But like I said, in the preseason, we're kind of down on him. Essendon, massive, massive score for Archie Perkins with 12 tackles, 24 touches, 2 goals. Filled the stat sheet in the absence of Darcy Parrish. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Like Zach Merritt and Will Setterfield rounded out that midfield and just scored bulk points in their win over Hawthorn. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do there. I can't imagine Parrish doesn't play inside, so certainly see tight four-man groups are the norm for a lot of clubs. Sam Durham maybe takes a little bit of a hit, although he didn't score particularly well, but maybe he's the loser in that situation. Andy McGrath continues to score well. Like I mentioned, Nick Martin, 93 fantasy points, but really turned it over a lot. So he's someone I'd be very cagey about, but maybe gets a stay, like I mentioned, with Mason Redmond suspended. So we'll see what happens in this space. On the Hawthorn side, just all the defenders scored reasonably well. D'Ambrosio is probably going to be on everyone's lips, but Charmin Impey, Carl Amon, probably not what you wanted if you drafted Carl Amon, probably a little bit low, but not if that's his flaw, that it's not horrible. And Josh Weddle was someone they used. John Newcomb's muscles surprisingly didn't score many points. 21 touches, but massively outside game. We don't sort of think that's his strength. I know people go, you see the muscles, you see the scores from last year, he looks in great nick, but that just doesn't mean you spread particularly well. So I'd be careful there. And James Warple just had a massive game inside. So don't whilst his fantasy score wasn't massive, he sucked up so much pill inside. So we'll see. We'll see on Newcomb. He might be a buy low. GWS in North Melbourne. Now everyone's terrified about Briggs because that's a couple of shitty scores in a row. But I just want to talk about that quickly. So GWS, man, that game was purely outside. There was like 66 ruck contests, which that's like, I think last year the average was 94 per game. So, you know, you're talking 30 ruck contests almost under what you would expect in a game. The game will play faster at the start of the year and then probably slow down a bit more contested as the season progresses. But it's hard not to be concerned, but just, you know, remember what's happening in their two matches so far is a little bit out of the normal. So I'd hold tight on Briggs, but I can understand owners being cagey. It's a little bit concerning. North Melbourne, Sheasel just looks like an awesome pick if you weren't him. Obviously, we talked about GWS's amazing start with North Melbourne, West Coast, the bye, and then Gold Coast. So Jesse Hogan, rewarding owners. Jake Riccardi, if anyone streamed him, just absolutely blew it up. So there were some really nice scores there. Finn Callahan scored the 81 in his first game for the year. Had a reasonably nice stat line. So someone there, Brent Daniels, obviously pretty highly owned. But again, with West Coast on deck, you're looking at your Cal Browns. Toby Bedford didn't get anything going, and maybe that's just a complete whiff. But yeah. West Coast on deck, so it should be smooth sailing for those GWS Giants again next week. Colby McKercher scored pretty well for North Melbourne. Wardlaw stopped at halftime for some unknown reason. So, yeah, Geelong and St Kilda. So Maxi Holmes off the halfback looks like a very savvy pickup for those who went with it. Obviously, a lot of those midfielders getting that half back role. So he had a massive, massive amount of meters gained per disposal, and he didn't turn it over hugely. I suspect that's maybe why they've put Holmes at half back, so they can actually get him involved. I never sort of like to say they'll feed him the pill, they want the ball in his hands. I sort of hate that expression, but they will put him in a position to succeed, I'll put it that way. Ollie Dempsey with three snags, scored nicely. I know Geelong people have talked him up a bit, gets his crack, scored well. We're not looking to pick him up. That's one thing. We will be looking to pick up Tanner Broome, though. 20 touches, 8 tackles, still only 65% game time. So he did get a knock at the start of the game, so maybe that's why he missed a bit of time. But, yeah, I think he's an add this week. I think we can pick him up. And Riley Bonner actually used the ball really well for St Kilda. I know Sinclair's coming back, but and he is owned, so you can't go picking him up, but he's certainly I can't imagine they're going to move on from him after that performance. Our Suns, undefeated. It was all the usual players in a pretty slippery condition game, so I probably wouldn't go hating on, you know, your Sextons and Butericks in those sort of conditions. Very wet, very slippery. Will Powell did manage, we love Will Powell heading into the season, and obviously just put out another great score. Jared Witts is a really interesting one. Still attending a lot of ruck contests and getting to them, but losing, this is really funny. He's lost the hitouts. Well, I shouldn't say lost, but he's won the hitouts at a like 10% lower clip than you would expect Jared Witts. I just wonder, is this a strategy? Is this something they're doing? It's really fascinating to me. So I think it's not going to be good news for his fantasy output. We'll watch this space, though. We'll watch this space. Collingwood are cruising. Like, you know, they played Collingwood in... No, not Collingwood. Who did they play in the first round? It wasn't anyone special. Like, it was that Sam Naismith. Like, what's going on here? What's going on? I want to know. It's really interesting to me. And obviously, Matt Rau had another massive game. 20 contested. And you can do 20 contested, 10 tackles. But again, I think that he's maybe a sell high. That might sound crazy, but, you know, played a team with no midfield in Richmond first up, played in just, you know, super conditions for Matt Rau. I just wonder if it's a bit like the scores are really at the high end of things. Maybe you can get away with it in Supercoach, and maybe this is what we've been waiting for all these years. I just can't help but think things have set up for his success in the first couple rounds. Whereas you look at, you know, your Jordan Dawson, maybe some of these other players from Adelaide who you would think would have success, like a Rochelle, etc. And like Rochelle kicked 3 goals for 78, so it's not what we're after. But, you know, did the conditions set up for Jordan Dawson? Probably not. 4 frees against. I think he's a buy target. So, I mean, we all would have had Matt Rau ranked way lower than Jordan Dawson. Like, if you offered Matt Rau for Jordan to the Jordan Dawson owner, that'd be an interesting conversation, wouldn't it? So, again, I just think it sets up really nicely for certain players in those conditions. So we'll just see. Melbourne Bulldogs, Jack Billings rocketed back into relevance. 15 marks, though. 15 marks. It's maybe not sustainable, let's say that. So that's something to think about there. But he's, you know, well done if you held him. Well done. T-Mac, our old mate T-Mac, in defense, took the 10 marks. 18 disposals, put out a solid enough fantasy score, so got a bump there. Stephen May just continues to rack it. There was just so many marks there, like Western Bulldogs just kicking it down their throat. So good news there, not many good scores on the Bulldogs side, and Riley Sanders inexplicably subbed out, healthy sub, when he was playing, yeah, pretty well, you would think. So interesting moves there. Caleb Daniel did come on as the sub and just racked up the pill. So I don't know. Maybe you can float an offer to the Caleb Daniel owner. I can't imagine he's going to be out of that team too long. caught in West Coast, just a fucking train wreck West Coast. 40 scoring shots to 20. the scores weren't massive for the Power, as you'd expect. They love to move the ball pretty quick. Ollie Wine's owners probably weren't super happy, but yeah, I mean, what can you say? Just the usual suspects. Soldo put out a nice game if you picked him. So West Coast, what are you going to do? It's Port Adelaide first up. They're, you know, I would have thought they're in the premiership conversation. So maybe things get easier next week. Oh, no, they don't. You've got GWS, so tough shit. And then Fremantle. Brisbane, obviously touching them up. Caleb Sarong looking like a great pick. Andy Brayshaw started slow, but he's coming home. A few injuries on the Dockers side, but not to any real people we care about for fantasy. Yeah, so waivers. Who are we looking at? Okay, so we got these. We use the 40% ownership. So they have to be under 40% owned on AFL Fantasy. There's a few defenders here, so you can pick your poison if you say you're a Sicily owner or a Redmond owner, whatever. Mitch McGovern, still 34% owned. I like that move. Jason Johannesson, I actually think, is a really interesting one. He's got the Suns on deck and West Coast, so scored the 99 this week, 30% owned. Should be free. He might even clear waivers, I'm not sure, because I think people will be looking at D'Ambrosio. I don't mind the JJ pick, although we sort of don't know what's going to happen with Caleb Daniel next week. So we'll watch this space, but I'd probably look at Johannesson as a pickup. Steve May, 35% owned, has to be rostered at this point. But again, you're sort of seeing so many good defenders floating around, and D'Ambrosio, like we mentioned, defender, 23% owned. So you can go, there's four options there, pick your poison if you need one. For the forwards, looking at Tom Powell, 32% own. Did have a lot of mid-time, but we'll watch this space on Simpkin and see what happens there. But Powell was fine. I mean, really, North hung in there pretty well with some straight kicking, making it a contest for a while. And Archie Perkins with that massive 130, 36% own. Again, you got to, like, you can pick him up, but just pay attention. I found him a really hard player to rank in the preseason because, you know, obviously the talent's there, but is the role always going to be there? We'll see. We'll see. And Tanner Brune, 35% own midfielder. Everyone always wants midfielders. He looms as an okay one. Some streams we got. GWS against West Coast, Cal Brown 17% owned, and Jake Riccardi 3% owned, dropped a massive ton. So congratulations if you stream those players. Freo versus North, it's kind of a funny one. There's not heaps of guys who I'd love to grab, like Jai Miss. I think he's best, like he's kicked a number of bags of four, and I think his best score is 78. So, what, you know, it sort of doesn't inspire, like, good player, but maybe not a great fantasy performer. Maybe you want a Switkowski option. We'll see there. And Port versus Richmond. Charlie Dixon is 36% owned. He had a pretty nice score today against West Coast. But yeah, they are the pickups this week. Our Suns doing it. Anyway, onto the Twitter questions. Russ, how did you rate the wingers to halfback experiment? Martin and Amon scored okay, but I didn't actually rate either's game. Disposal efficiency of 56% and 77% respectively. I think you can live with Amon's game. Nick Martin, I think I've mentioned throughout this show, was reasonably uninspiring, as you would suggest, Russ. But I think that if Redmond misses a week, they'll probably stick with it. But I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled the pin at some point. He missed Holmes' game. Yeah, Holmes is fine, man. Holmes is fine. Matty Faz, salary cappers on Twitter during round one rolling lockout. Discuss. I haven't spent heaps of time on Twitter this weekend. Trying to avoid it, to be honest. But it's been a pretty weird preseason on Twitter. There's been a, I don't know, just hasn't been positive. And then, like, the Supercoach site going down. I don't know. It's this McDonald's society, man. Bunch of Karens playing fantasy footy. Want everything, want it now, want it perfect. Ninja Spoon, didn't see game, but is Dangerfield a sell high in keeper leagues? Yeah, so it's really interesting. Danger is someone we haven't been keen on for a few years, but he really wound back the clock and just dominated that midfield. Yeah. Is he a sell high? In keeper leagues, yeah, he's a sell high. In redraft, yeah, I don't know. Do people like Dangerfield from fantasy? It doesn't feel like they do. Sort of like in that Pendlebury category, but he might even be more on the nose than Pendlebury. So we'll see. Russ, if 80% of the Suns' premiership side is already on the list, does that also mean the next Mrs. Hardwick is already working at the club? It's very, very funny, Russ. Warren, who is number one on waivers? Tom Powell, Massimo. It's actually funny, man. I look at all these guys, and I probably don't spend a waiver. So I think, you know, if you like these defenders, like, you can probably, like, if you had number one priority, I'd find it hard to let it go for these guys. Maybe if I was in a, you know, deep midfield league, I might spend it on Bruin, but I think we'll get a clearer picture on who's a good streaming team. There's so many defenders. You know, you could wait for it to clear. Like, we didn't mention Bramble was pretty fine. I wouldn't spend it on D'Ambrosio. I can understand if you do. Maybe Mitch McGovern. Maybe Mitch McGovern. But I'd probably stick fat this week. If you say waiver three onwards and you need something, grab them. But I'd find it hard to spend up. I'm pretty tight when it comes to the number one waiver pick. I need something a bit juicier than, you know, Steve May. Put it that way. Elliot, when ranking players pre-draft all positions combined, which we'd never recommend doing, Elliot, but would your top 100 players change if it was a 3-4-1-3 league or a 5-7-1-5 league, both 10 man? It was a discussion we were having in our leagues. And look, I shouldn't say why we split it up, but I like having tiered ranks by position. And it just gives you a clearer picture of who's moving where. But yeah, if you're in a 3-4-1-3 versus a 5-7-1-5, of course, the value of position change is like rocks in a 3-4-1-3 far more valuable than in a 5-7-1-5. Not that they're not valuable, but those midfielders, when you're batting 70 midfielders on field deep a week versus 40, that's a huge discrepancy. And you know, is your fourth midfielder going to be that much different from is the 40th midfielder going to be that much different from the 50th? And et cetera, by the time you get injuries through the season and all that, I tend to find the value in those shallower leagues is in having the gun defenders and forwards and rucks. You know, the mids, I think you can get by. So, yeah, 100%, Elliot, the value does change. Jordan, is anyone talking about players having different scores for different leagues? I haven't seen that. Not sure what's going on there. Supercoach? I don't know. Richie, will be a bias. Will being a biased Suns fan pay off in 23 weeks' time? He's got Nari Anderson, Matt Rowell, and Sam Flanders. Man, it could do. Hope so. Major, will Perkins' time in the middle last when Parrish and Hobbs come back? Are you thinking 70s or 90s? Yeah, it's a great question, man. But I mean, they're not going to play Hawthorn every week also. So I had him ranked preseason, you know, 70s was a good situation. So but hey man, he could blow that out of the water. No question about it. But I think what you're asking is a fair question. And I think that's something you're gonna have to take into consideration when you waiver. So if you wanted to put Perkins number one, knock your socks off, do it. But just be aware of that situation. But being the fourth midfielder is not always a bad thing. Pack and Sand, how many points did Dangerfield end up with for attempting to rupture Stocker's kidneys? 15? One free kick, three kick, 1.10 just because he's Dangerfield? Yeah, Supercoach is like 23. Also, thoughts on Weddle's game and role as he seemed to get used a lot as the link player versus the Dons. Yeah, I mean, they obviously like him, so he's someone they're going to build around. Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. I mean, again, there's so many defenders. That's the thing. But we'll see. Their meters per disposal was way up on last year, so we'll see. Western Bulldogs are actually at the arse end, which we did sort of project, to be honest. Blair, do we need to make necessary adjustments as news comes to hand? We're constantly adjusting. But this is the thing, man. It's like you do the prep work pre-season, set yourself up for success, and then as this, you know, the season happens, injuries occur, roles change, teams will switch it up after a few weeks when they lose. Just be prepared to make those adjustments and do it with good information. Like we're talking about with Perkins, like this role might not be sustainable. Tom Powell, same deal. Are they worth adding? Sure. But also, you know, keep in mind you can stream guys like Cal Brown every week. There'll be a Cal Brown. I'll put it that way. Liam, I have Short, Crisp, Bolton, Lipinski, and Lukosius. Am I destined to come last, or will some of these guys recover? Well, on Lukosius, like, let's just think about it. Like, put the game in context, man. Like, which key forward really took it by the scruff of the neck? Like, for either team, no one. No one. Like, it was terrible conditions for taking a contested mark. So, I sort of give Lukosius a pass on that one. Ben King had 4 touches. Ben King didn't take a mark in 82% game time. Like, come on, man. Like, we got to, you know, there was 114 marks in that total game. Suns took 118 the week before. So, I'd give them a pass. Short, I think, like I mentioned, is a buy low. Crisp, I think you can lose. Bolton, I'd stick fat with, but it's pretty scary. Lipinski, I don't think Lipinski's that bad. I think Lipinski's fine, right? He's fine. He's fine. They, if 62 is your floor, I'm okay with it. The kick to handball ratio is pretty annoying. We'll see how they go this week. I'm okay with Lipinski so far. He's not going to, like, crush it every week. He thinks Short and Lipinski should be okay. Sorry, I should have read this part. But should I try to find replacements for Bolton, Crisp, and Lukosius? If so, any suggestions in a deep league? I'd move on from Crisp. I think you can move on from Lukosius. I don't think you have to stick with him. And, I mean, he says it's a deep league, so... obviously, more players are going to be owned. So, I mean, we use the 40%. We think it's a good balance, but who's my suggestion? I don't know. I mean, I'd probably tend to stream in those situations. Like, if you're in a deep league, you're going to have to run some pretty rough scores from time to time. That's just how it is. Cal Brown will be there one week, and you'll play Jake Waterman the next week, and you'll play Zerha, you know what I mean? Like, these guys are going to have to be through your team in a deep league. You're just going to stream some terrible players and they're going to score some terrible points. I'd stick with Bolton. Lukosius would be interesting. But again, like, those conditions just didn't suit. So I'd be mindful of that. He also goes on, any of Perkins, D'Ambrosio, Bolton, Max King, the real deal? Max King's really interesting. I probably wouldn't go buying. Perkins, maybe. Bolter in defense is pretty interesting. D'Ambrosio could be, for sure. He's in the right team for it. And is Hobbs worth holding or dump to the waivers to fix issues? Yeah, it's so tough on those Essendon guys, man. We found it really tough to rank him in the preseason. I like Hobbs. I like him. But, man, if you I don't mind dumping him to fix other issues. I'll put it that way. That'll wrap it up for this week. Hope you enjoyed the show. Another solo pod. I think Stato's back soon. I'm just absolutely slaughtering it in my home league. Going to win by like 500, so. Oh, sorry, 400. And again, if anyone wants my rooster, it's a lovely rooster. I've got to be honest. I can't believe we're getting rid of it. I will drive it to your door and give you $20 for doing so. Anyway. We'll see you next time. Oh, just for anyone who follows the running thing, I did 5Ks today. So I went to the physio a couple of weeks ago and they said you can do some interval training and Should be okay. See how it goes. We did some intervals, which I hate. So it looks like we might be back on track a little bit. We'll see. We'll see. But it's positive news, which is always good. Enjoy, and I hope you get your waivers if you choose to use them. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.